Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. Today's episode is Know Your Numbers, Blood Pressure. Before we begin, my name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com. You can find me on social media, and you can find my books wherever books are sold. You can also join me in my online vegan cooking classes. This podcast is possible because of the support of listeners like you. So thank you for subscribing, for listening, and for supporting. You can join other supporters by going to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. I want to share something with you that I share with everyone who takes my 30-day vegan challenge. What I say is that by the end of the 30 days, you will no doubt experience changes that are impossible to measure, changes in your outlook, changes in your energy level, changes in your perspective, in your overall well-being. You will also most likely experience physiological and biological changes you can track and measure. So this is why I always encourage people to get their blood work done before they're making changes. And you can encourage this of others as well. Most people are surprised to learn that there are measurable differences when you eliminate meat, dairy, and eggs for just 30 days. And you can go back to the episode called Why 30 Days for more on that. But that's why I really encourage people to try it for themselves, to encourage friends and family members to try it for 30 days, because there's nothing more empowering than being able to see those measurable, tangible changes within that time period. And this is one of the reasons, as I just said, I recommend people visit their health professional before they get started to get a complete health check, to get a full blood panel, a full urine panel, and then again, do that at the end of 30 days to really see the difference. Now, there is a wide range of different tests you can get done. Today, we're just going to cover blood pressure because there's so many numbers when we go to the doctor and they do our blood pressure, we don't quite know if it's good, we don't quite know if it's bad because they don't usually say unless it's a problem. And same thing with the tests when we get our blood work done, when we get our urine analysis done, we usually just rely on the doctor or the health professional, the nurse practitioner, to say it's good or bad. But I wanted to give you numbers so that you can feel empowered, so that you understand what those numbers mean. So you might want to grab a pen and paper to just write down some of these numbers. There are only a few. If you're a patron at $10 a month and above, you do get the transcript to each and every podcast. And of course, that applies if you're at the $100 a year level support, because now you can contribute at Patreon annually, or you can do it monthly. So let's start with the most common, something you can even get at a local pharmacy or with a kit you might have at home, and that is blood pressure. Blood pressure is a measure of how hard blood is pressing against artery walls. Think of it like water running through a hose. Blood pressure readings are made up of two values. There's systolic blood pressure and there's diastolic blood pressure. Systolic blood pressure is the pressure when the heart beats, when the heart muscle is contracting or squeezing and pumping the oxygen-rich blood into the blood vessel. So an easy way to remember this, of course, you know I love etymology, and it's a really easy way to remember really any new word, is to understand the etymology. The word systolic comes from the Greek word systole, which means a drawing together or a contraction. It comes from the word syn, S-Y-N, meaning together, and the stem related to stellion, meaning to draw in. So to draw in together, to contract. That's what systole means, systolic blood pressure means. It refers to the drawing in or the contraction. So that's when the heart beats. Diastolic blood pressure, on the other hand, is the pressure on the blood vessels when the heart muscle relaxes. And it's from Greek diastole, meaning dilation. So you can remember that by dilation, D-I meaning through to drawing in. So it's the dilation and when the heart is relaxing. So when you get these numbers, you get them in pairs. You always get the upper value first, the systolic value first, and then you get the diastolic value. The diastolic pressure, the diastolic number, the lower number, which is when the heart is relaxing, is always lower than the systolic. So someone who has a reading of 130 over 88, and blood pressure is measured in units of millimeters of mercury, that's the mmHg, that's what you'll see, millimeters of mercury. So someone who has a reading of 132 over 88, mmHg, millimeters of mercury, and it's often just said, you know, 132 over 88, has a systolic blood pressure of 132 and a diastolic blood pressure of 88. If these measurements are consistently too high, and you can get these done if your health practitioner is concerned, they're going to want to test your blood pressure over the course of several days at different times. If these measurements are consistently too high, you are said to have high blood pressure. Even if only one of the two, either the systolic or the diastolic number, is too high. And that's called hypertension. The medical term for high blood pressure is hypertension. So the American Heart Association defines normal blood pressure as 120 over 80. So a systolic value of 120 and a diastolic under 80. So 120 over 80 is what the American Heart Association defines as normal blood pressure. When it's considered high, it's 140 over 90. So 120 over 80 is considered normal. 140 over 90 is considered to be hypertensive. What experts find is that the risk for strokes and heart attacks starts progressively climbing above 115 over 75. So even though the American Heart Association says 120 over 80, it looks like it's more 115 over 75. Now, I decided to check my recent numbers over the course of the last several years. I can see them online, my heart health chart online. So just to give you perspective, the last six blood pressure checks in the last few months, my numbers were 93 over 62. Now remember, American Heart Association says 120 over 80, and we want to see them even lower than that. Ideally, the experts say that 115 over 75 is even more optimal, but let's just say 120 over 80 is what we're going by. My last six blood pressure checks were 93 over 62, 95 over 61, 93 over 59, 97 over 68, and 97 over 64. I saw in my records that the highest was back in 2012, was 110 over 67, but that's still well below any range to be concerned. So what's helpful is if you see your blood pressure readings over the course of, you know, several months, several weeks, several days, whatever it is, depending on if you're concerned or not. So why is high blood pressure a problem? So again, think of a garden hose. The more pressure inside that hose, the worse it is for the hose, right? The more water that's pushing up against the walls of the hose, the worse it is for the hose. It strains it, it puts pressure on it. And increased blood pressure puts a strain on the heart and can damage blood vessels, causing bleeding in the brain, and can even lead certain arteries to balloon and rupture like that hose, right? So if you have high blood pressure, you're putting pressure on the heart, and this can lead to a heart attack. As you age, blood pressure does tend to get higher, but this has mistakenly led people, even people in the medical field, not surprisingly, to believe that high blood pressure is a natural result of aging, like wrinkles or gray hair. But this is not true. Many peer-reviewed studies have demonstrated this. While it still may increase a little as we get older, it can still remain in the safe range of 120 over 80 or 115 over 75. How? Low sodium, high fiber diet, filled with whole grains, beans, vegetables, fruits, and dark leafy greens. Is that surprising to anybody who's listening to this? Probably not. What's the easiest way to keep your blood pressure at a really good, safe level? eat lots of whole grains, beans, vegetables, fruits, and dark leafy greens, and cut out animal products. We have seen study after study after study demonstrate this. You will naturally be cutting sodium from your diet when you do this, because obviously I said a low sodium, high fiber diet. You will naturally be cutting sodium from your diet when you cut out animal flesh and fluids, because the most amount of sodium that most people consume comes from animal products. Here's a little quiz for you. Can you guess which contains more sodium? A serving of beef, a large McDonald's French fries, or a serving of salted pretzels, or baked all-natural chicken? The answer is baked all-natural chicken. That's the number one source of sodium. So getting animal products out of our diet is the best thing we can do. The next thing we can do is just fill our diet, fill our bodies with all of the nutritious plant foods. The number one source of sodium for American kids and teens is pizza. For adults over 50, it's bread. For Americans between 20 and 50, as I said, it's that all-natural, quote-unquote, all-natural chicken. So removing chicken, removing animal products, removing processed salty foods from your diet is the first best thing we can do. Next is adding all those nutrient-rich plant foods. You will naturally be lowering your sodium just by those two acts alone. Now, I can tell you, I can even guarantee you that when you remove all of the sodium-rich animal products from your diet, your palate will change. Once you remove all the animal-based sodium and fat from your diet that's coating your palate changes. You will stop craving those things. So do you need to reduce table salt when cooking? Well, you can consult all of the experts you want. You can consult your doctor, work with them, absolutely, whatever you think is best. But all I'm saying is that the sodium content you consume will naturally decrease as you decrease animal products and as you increase plant foods. But there are a few more things you can do. You can leave the salt shaker off the table. You can just practice not cooking with salt. Again, you will just crave salt less when you eat less salt. And reduce the heavily processed, heavily packaged foods, which do contain a lot of sodium. Now, if you are on blood pressure lowering medication right now and you start making changes to your diet, definitely consult with your doctor, your health practitioner, so you can work on a plan together to get off medication, because that is something that invariably happens when you get this stuff out of your diet. So I hope that helps. Knowing your numbers will empower you to take charge of your own health and your own life. And remember, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something, anything for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.